folks. It's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live, here to tell you that the new subscriber section on Warbird Radio is absolutely free. That's right, I said it. It's free. Everything is free. The podcast, the image galleries, it's all there, including the special offers, and it's all free. All you have to do is go to the website, warbirdradio.com, log in, and that's it. It's free. Username and password. We might send you an email or two here and there, but it's something you'll want to get. And the best part is, it's all free. What are you waiting on? Sign up today. Warbird Radio Live, the new subscriber section, 100% free.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio control scale modeling, you should check us out at rcscalebuilder.com. It's a great community that offers build threads, tips and tricks, aircraft walkarounds, free plans, and much more. You can find us at www.rcscalebuilder.com. Hope to see you there.
The RC Scale Builder Show, broadcast weekly, right here on Warbird Radio.
Now, this is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
You're strapped in to Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, March 9th, 2010. I'm your host, Mike Chilson. I want to welcome you to the show. If you're listening to us live tonight, we got some great content for you. And if you're listening on the podcast, just sit back and enjoy yourself and continue doing whatever you're doing. Man, I sure am glad that daylight savings time is here. That means spring is right around the corner, and it's, you know, it's 7:05 here in the central time zone, and still daytime. So really looking forward to that. We got a special guest tonight. Wanted to welcome Daryl Tinney from Sierra. Daryl, are you with us, pal?
Yes, I am, Mike. Thank you.
How you doing?
Good.
I appreciate you coming on the show to join us. You have to forgive me. I'm getting over some respiratory things, so I'm going to try and keep my bullfrog voice to a minimum tonight and let you talk a lot. First of all, thanks again for coming on the show. I know a lot of guys have a lot of questions about retracts. And folks, tonight while we're talking about retracts and Sierra Giant Scale, you can get in on the conversation by calling us at 478-787-4768. Or if you have Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio or send your emails to me at live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll get your question read on the air. Well, let's get right into it, Daryl. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Sierra Giant Scale and maybe how you got started with the company and what you guys do?
Well, obviously we make giant scale and regular scale landing gear of all types, fixed, retractable, even up to third scale, some of them. Sierra, kind of, this funny story, kind of started from me wanting to do a large plane. I had flown a couple of, you know, fixed gear models and didn't need gear, but I went to build a Spartan Executive. And that came about because I was working on replacement trunnions for a full scale. It was something that the owner of the company I worked for had a plane, and most of the ones that were built back in the 30s had cast aluminum trunnions. And when they were first developed, they were able to land these planes into the wind on a great big grass runway. Well, modern day, you can't do that anymore. You land it on an asphalt runway and maybe crosswind. So they were breaking them all the time, and almost every one of them was on its belly. So we ended up making, I think, 6 sets for various planes around the country. So I went to build a quarter scale of this plane and looked around for landing gear for it, because I had never made any before, and couldn't find anything that would be heavy enough. So I, I'm a machinist, I'll make my own. And that's really how Sierra and Giant Scale started.
That's interesting that your hobby kind of led you into what you're doing now. It's kind of, I guess, kind of a dream a lot of people have, and it's great that you've been able to turn it into a living.
It's, you know, it's a kind of a common story. People invent things or do things, and you know, somebody else sees it, and that's what it was. I did this plane, took it to an event up here in Ohio, and some people saw it and or came up to me and, hey, where'd you get the gear? And I told them I made it myself, and they wanted something. And then I made some gear for somebody. I don't remember who it was. They took it to the Nats in, I think, 2000. And Roy Valancourt seen them. And, hey, where'd you get those, you know? So I started making some gear for him. And it's snowballed since then. Every year we do, you know, almost 50% more than we did the year before.
That's amazing. I think anyone who's owned a set of your gear probably knows why that is, just because of the quality of them. If nothing else, the quality is just incredible on the products that you guys produce. And, you know, that goes a long way, I think, in satisfying the customers. Let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, do you think that, I mean, obviously you make an excellent product. And I would go as far to say that it's probably the best ones out there, but that's my opinion, obviously. But, you know, what's your philosophy behind that about your business and you know, creating these great products? I mean, obviously it's difficult. It's a difficult task to create the product itself, and we'll get into that shortly. But you know, to maintain a kind of a business philosophy about keeping your product at a certain quality, obviously there's something involved there that does that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and it's hard to explain exactly, but I mean, being that I've been a machinist for almost 32 years now, the quality was just something that came natural. I mean, I see how all the other brands are made. I mean, a lot of them are stamped out because they want to do high volume of them. And along with that, that's, you get the cheaper price. But it's, unless you're doing it for volume airplanes like a Top Flight P-51 or a some of the, you know, smaller kit built planes, you're lucky if you do 30 sets a year. So when I design something, I know I'm going to be low volume, so it's going to be for the models that really appreciate it, and I put the extra thought into, you know, the strut sizes being scale sizes, maybe the fork being the correct shape rather than just a, you know, curved tube. And we go as far as I tried with many different places trying to get some castings made, you know, for aluminum. But the disadvantage is they aren't as strong as being machined from solid. For every different size fork I do, I have to have another casting. I'm dependent on when their schedule. So we, right from the start, decided to make everything on a CNC mill 3D, and I can have any size I want. And the strength is just incredible. I mean, I've seen some of these come back bent 90 degrees to break. And there's no way a casting would have done that.
Right.
And that's the, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the correct way, and try to put the strength right from the start. So.
Gotcha. Well, that's good to know, and it definitely shows in your product. And folks, again, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, Matt will squeeze you right in here on us, and all you got to do is call us at 478-787-4768 or Skype in at Warbird Radio, or, of course, you can email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com. Daryl, you know, we kind of touched on the process a little bit. Can you kind of go into that a little more detailed? I know a lot of people probably don't realize how much time it takes to develop a set of gear, let alone manufacture it.
Yeah, and it's getting easier in some respects and harder in others, because I've created my own problem is that the more you do, the more people want, you know. When all you could get was a cast set of stainless steel forks that somebody had in one size and made it fit the plane because that's all that was available, or a welded tube. When I started doing it this way, then somebody says, hey, can I have it that size? And I do it, you know. But the more and more they see it out there, the more and more they want it if they can afford it. But, you know, as far as the process, you know, I look at the plane in three different ways. I look to see, you know, how much detail can I put into it? How many are we going to make? Because it all relates to, especially doing CNC equipment, every part has at least two setups, maybe even three. And each one of them takes a couple hours to set up. So there's a tremendous amount of time in each part. Just to get them set up. So the more I can run, the better it is, the cheaper it is. And some of the gear have, you know, anywhere from 30 to 50 different parts. And some of those are just simple bolts or axles or whatever. But I literally have probably 2,000 or 3,000 different parts, of major parts on the shelf, and bins of little pins and shafts and everything else that can sometimes be used across different gear, but for the most part, most of these are kind of special to that gear.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's that's pretty interesting in itself. You know, so what kind of, you know, time frame would you say? Let's say Jerry Bates sends you a drawing and says, "Okay, I'm going to release this new plan, and here's a drawing of the real landing gear, and here's my drawing, and can you make a set for this of mains?" Just, you know, not putting you on the spot, but you know, what kind of time frame generally do we talk about from the time you receive that information to the time they're rolling out the door?
Minimum is going to be a couple months.
Yeah.
And there's one main factor with how long it's going to take is if only one person's going to build that model, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Because for 40 different parts for a set of gear, I'm looking at doing a minimum of a dozen sets. And I can't, the company can't afford to do a dozen sets at just I'm ballparking a price of $500 a set. That can't sit on the shelf for very long. So it has to, you know, it has to be a plane that, you know, I know I'm going to sell. I mean, one perfect example, and I'd love to do them, is Jerry's, now I'm not going to think of the name. He's got a plane that he came out with a couple years ago, but I've only had one person ever call for it, and I can't do it for just the one.
Sure, sure.
It's probably one of the most complex. And I'd love to do it, but it's like Jerry Bates's Buffalo, another perfect example.
Yeah.
I did, I think, 8 or 9 sets, and they're all gone. But I need another spurt of people saying, hey, I want to build that plane before I can do another set or another run of them.
Gotcha. Yeah, because it's cost prohibitive, obviously, to do, you know, 1 or 2 or 3. That's pretty simple to see, I think.
Yeah. When I first started it, I mean, I was doing it part-time for the first couple of years, I did it in my spare time weekends, and I would make, you know, a couple of these, a couple of those, and I wasn't supporting myself with it. Unfortunately, now the company's grown to where we ship probably around 1,000 sets of retracts. I mean, everything from little ones for the ESM planes up to, you know, I'm doing some third-scale Spitfire gear right now, and I do the third-scale LA-7. They're in that entire range, and we have 8 employees now, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less with some part-time. So the company's grown to the point where I can't just stop and do one thing. We have to keep everything flowing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what, Daryl? It looks like we've got a caller to join in and own the conversation some. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Who are we speaking with?
This is Mike from Tallahassee,
hey, Mike.
Florida.
How you doing tonight, Mike?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Do you have a question for Daryl?
Yeah, I have a question and a couple comments. I bought 2 sets of gear from him that I'm very happy with, and I'm about to order another set for a yellow aircraft P-38. And I was going to ask him, you want to know what I'm going to ask him?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you're live on the air now.
Oh, okay. yeah, basically, I was going to ask him, his gear is very high quality. I bought a set for a ESM Bearcat that I've been flying with, and I bought another set for CMP BF-109 that actually, I hate to say it, but they got ripped out of the wing on a bad landing tonight, but the gear survived, and I'm going to fix the plane. And I just wanted to know, one of the only issues that I've heard about his company is that, you know, how is he going to grow because there's such a demand for his product, and his product is so good. How can he grow effectively and still keep the quality up and the customer service? Because basically, he answers the phones, which is great, but, you know, sometimes you got to get a secretary and some admin people. But I'm very happy with his product, and I'm going to be purchasing another set for my P-38. That was it.
Okay, there you go. There's a great question for you, Daryl.
Well, it's a good one. I mean, I am actually trying to find somebody right now that can, you know, effectively take over the sales part of the job. Unfortunately, most of the calls, except for some simple things we have on the shelf, are kind of technical. And, you know, there's so many different gear out there. Unless I find a modeler, you know, somebody that's very knowledgeable about it, they're just coming to ask me the question anyways. I'm still looking for that person. It's just hard to find.
So, yeah.
I mean, even in this area, I don't have a single modeler in my club of 50-some members that flies a giant scale plane. So they don't know enough about it to even, because I use a few of the club members as, you know, part-time employees.
Gotcha.
But it's tough to find somebody that's, you know, knowledgeable enough about it to say here. And it would take, you know, a year to train somebody to even come close to that. So,
yeah, yeah. Well, that's certainly understandable. That's a great question. Thanks for calling in, Mike. Appreciate your call. We got a quick email here from Dan Geldner. He just wants to know if you have some gear that you keep in stock or certain models that are fast movers and available more often than others.
Again, an excellent question. There are some of the standard planes, like maybe a Top Flight P-47, P-51. A lot of the ESM ARFs that are coming out, we get a high demand for those. I try to keep those in stock whenever I can. As far as kit-built planes, some movers are like the Zeroli P-51, P-47. You've got all the Bailey Aviation Falkworth 190, P-47, Typhoon, Tempest, Sea Fury, Jerry Bates' Sea Fury. Most of those I have in stock. The Balsa USA Stearman, we started making those directly for Balsa USA, a very good seller. I probably have 30 or 40 different designs that are on the shelf most of the time. There'll be high volume times where I'll sell every Focke-Wulf I've got in a matter of a couple months, and it takes me 3 or 4 months to make another batch of those.
Yeah.
So I try to keep the standard ones that you see at the field all the time in stock, but I can't do huge numbers of them because you may only sell 10 sets a year, and so I try to put enough on the shelf to satisfy that year's demand and some parts, but that's about it.
Gotcha. That's a great question. Thanks for that question, Dan. Well, let me ask you this. If you were going to tell someone or give someone some advice, let's say they've decided on their winter project that they want to work on or a new project that they want to work on, what's the best way to handle getting in touch with you and maybe what kind of time frame do they need to consider when they're ordering retracts?
Well, again, if it's a standard one that we have on the website, there's a page specifically listing this same type of scenario that you want to build a plane, and is it in the list, and do we stock it? If it's not, I mean, if you're doing a giant scale plane that, you're just blowing up somebody else's plans, the earlier you can get a hold of me and look at that, the better, because if you're doing one and I've never done it before, it may be a year or two, because I got to make some money at it, and it's almost impossible on a single item, unless it's something that I can just take all the parts I've got and put them together, to do that, unless you want to spend, some absorbent amount of money. It was funny. Frank wrote an article one time and said, if you need some retracts, something about a can of money and a lot of time. And that's really what it is.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to do even half of the requests that I get, but I'm servicing really around the whole world.
Right.
I sell probably 25% to 30% out of the country now.
So. That's interesting. We got another email question in. You want to take one more question here? Okay. This is from Roy in Atlanta, and he wants to know, what is the best type of lubricant for retracts?
The best, and it's what I use in my cylinders. As far as the cylinders, that's probably what fails the most, is because it is an air cylinder, and being that they go through temperature changes from extreme north where it's below zero to the south where it may get 150 degrees in somebody's trailer, the best lubricant is a Dow 55 Corning O-ring lube. I sell little syringes of it for recharging. The thin oil that some people use, refrigerant oil, whatever, in the cylinders, they're a Band-Aid. They'll kind of lubricate a little bit, but it's too thin and it runs down to one side of the cylinder. The Dow 55 is almost like a thick grease, and it sticks to things. Because what happens in a cylinder is the O-ring will set for a while, take shape, and that's when it may leak. As far as the retract itself, just a simple, we use this as a marine bearing grease, something that's not dirty, stuff doesn't stick to it as much, and it's not affected by moisture for your struts and things.
Gotcha. That's a great question, by the way. That's probably what a lot of people want to know. So
I get the cylinder, from all kinds of cylinders, even ours that, we'll send out, and maybe somebody doesn't use it for 5 years while they're building a plane, and it sits there, and that O-ring has taken shape. It's not like a hydraulic cylinder where it's full of oil all the time and it's always lubricated. An air cylinder, even though it's closed up, still has temperature changes and O-ring will take shape.
Gotcha. Well, that's a great question. Thanks a lot, Roy. I appreciate that. Let me ask you one final question here, and this is the one that I usually try to ask all my guests, and I know that you're a great modeler. What do you got in your workshop right now? What are you working on? What kind of model?
Building, I haven't had a chance in 10 years to build a model. The Spartan, I think, was the last one I, and that was flew in 99.
Gotcha.
I've bought a few models. I've had some people put some together for me and flown them. It's the old story, the shoemaker has the worst shoes. When I'm done for the day, I go home and forget about it, you know.
I understand.
I'd love to. I mean, I've got a huge shop with areas to even do that. I set up for it, but I can't even get to it. The next phone calls, you know, can I have this or can I have that? I mean, even some of the distributors, we're doing some new things for hinges and all kinds of collars and little things that just make that plane stand out for like attaching gear doors or there's just so many different things.
Oh, I bet. I can imagine that you get hammered pretty hard on that kind of stuff because there's just not that many people that do it well, you know.
That's the problem is unfortunately when you're, and I don't toot my own horn, but when you take attention to it and try to do the best you can, people recognize that. I mean, I'm constantly at Toledo or at the shows, people come up to me and, you know, and thank me for what I've done and you know, what are you working on next? But it's just, I don't know. There's so many things that I'd love to get to that I can't.
Yeah, I understand. Well, so you're going to be at Toledo again this year, right?
Oh, yeah. We've been there since 2000, I think, was our first booth. So this will be our 10th year.
Super. Well, you hear that, everybody. Be sure and stop by and see Daryl in Toledo if you're there. And I hope you'll join us for the dinner Friday night, Daryl.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Super, super. Well, look, buddy, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Will you come back and talk some more about retracts?
Just anytime. Just say so. We haven't even touched on some of it.
Oh, I know. We you know, there's just so much information to cover. It's amazing. But we'll have you back soon for sure, and we'll get some more people to participate, and I'm sure we'll have more questions. I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and you know, like I said, in my opinion, your product is absolutely the best product out there, and hands down. And
I appreciate that, Mike. It's been very hard earned, but you know, every time I hear it, it's very well taken. So
I know a lot of people feel the same way I do. So so thanks again for all your hard work and effort, and we'll have you back soon. And we're going to try and pay some bills here and go to a commercial break. But when we come back, folks, stick around. Ron Berg's going to be giving us a DVD review, and we'll have a couple other cool things. And once again, thanks again, Daryl, and come back and see us, buddy, okay?
Anytime you're ready.
All right, thank you. And folks, we're going to break for a commercial. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with a rebroadcast throughout the week. You've been on the WIC's Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. WIC's wants to hear from you. Again, that's WIC's Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Hey, it's Matt from Warbird Radio Live here to tell you that the new subscriber section on Warbird Radio is absolutely free. That's right, I said it. It's free. Everything is free. The podcast, the image galleries, it's all there, including the special offers, and it's all free. All you have to do is go to the website, warbirdradio.com, log in, and that's it. It's free. Username and password. We might send you an email or two here and there, but it's something you'll want to get. And the best part is, it's all free. What are you waiting on? Sign up today. Warbird Radio Live, the new subscriber section, 100% free.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio control scale modeling, you should check us out at rcscalebuilder.com. It's a great community that offers build threads, tips and tricks, aircraft walkarounds, free plans, and much more. You can find us at www.rcscalebuilder.com. Hope to see you there.
The RC Scale Builder Show, broadcast weekly, right here on Warbird Radio.
Now, this is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
You're strapped in to Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Okay, welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're listening live, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. That was fantastic to be able to talk with Daryl Tinney there of Sierra Giant Scale. His website's listed as a supporting vendor on the site, so be sure and check him out if you're not familiar with him. If you are, I don't need to tell you where to go. You know all about Daryl and how to get in touch with him. But otherwise... check them out if you haven't. If you're listening to the podcast, appreciate you downloading and listening. Be sure and check there on the homepage if you do not know about it. And you can actually listen to the podcast live while you browse the site. There's a nice little box there with a link to listen to those. Looks like we got Mr. Ron Berg with us. Are you there, Ron?
Yes, I am, Mr. Mike Chilson. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, pal.
You sound so much better than you did last night.
Well,
and last night I talked to this guy on the phone, and he was talking about his throat felt like he's swallowing glass, and it sounded like it. But you sound pretty good tonight.
Well, thanks. I stood in the shower for about an hour before the show tonight to try and loosen everything up, and it seemed to work a little bit.
There's a mental image I could have done without.
Well, you know, we all have our crosses to bear, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, I want to be the first one. If the trivia question tonight is, what is the aircraft that Daryl was trying to think of that Jerry Bates has and has the complicated gear, I'm going to say the Hawker Sea Fury.
He actually has gear for that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, wow. He sure does.
You know, people might agonize over whether, you know, where to go to buy their gear, but I've got five or six sets of his gear, and you buy the first one, the decision-making process isn't too very tough the next time you go to buy one.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know there's a lot of people that they pick their models by the availability of Daryl's gear.
Yep. So what do you got for us tonight, Ron?
I've got a video that's it's called The Easy and Inexpensive Way to Make Your Own Composite Parts. And it's a video, you're watching a guy named Terry Lukenbach, and he's a modeler with 30 years of experience, but before he got into modeling, he, as a living, he was involved in manufacturing fiberglass pleasure boats, so he's got a lot of experience in the composite molding trade. And What he's doing in this video is basically showing you how to make your own forms, how to make a mold, how to lay up a part, and how to finish the part. And he's in the video, he's building a fuselage for a little slope soaring glider that wouldn't be of a lot of interest to those of us in the scale part of the hobby. But it won't take you long to start seeing that there's a lot of techniques there that really, really cross over into our hobby. Basically, he takes, he cuts a fiberglass form that's a profile of his fuselage, and then he'll cut two sheets of 1/8 plywood, and he glues them together using rubber cement so that he can separate it. Takes foam and forms the sides using a top view and a side view off of the plans, shapes them, and then he splits the boards apart, and then he makes a mold by just basically building a box around it with styrofoam, pours hydrocal in there like we've seen Merlin do building his cows, and he makes a hard mold, and then he lays up parts on that and pulls him a fuselage off of it. Now, that sounds pretty simplified, but if you watch the video, that's pretty much how simple it is. It's It's a lot of easy techniques that when you put them together, you can end up with something that is, you know, very useful to a modeler. And while I was watching it, there's a lot of the scale details. He shows an example of where he made a instrument panel for one of his models. And this is one of the ones that I've watched a lot of instructional videos, but this is probably one of the most useful ones that I've come across.
That's interesting. You know, it amazes me how many of these instructional type videos are out there on these, what we consider to be complex tasks, but seem fairly simple after watching someone else do it.
Well, you know, that's true. I've got quite a few of them, and, you know, as I run across them, I buy a lot, most of what I come across. And I'm kind of the belief that most anybody can learn anything. And, you know, Dave Platt, he talks about, you know, he spent 50 years learning to build his models. And I've, you know, I'm a good friend with Merlin, like you are. Merlin's been scratch building since 1978, and you watch him put together planes, just phenomenal. You know, I'm 59 years old. I don't have that much time. I need all the help I can get. And you take these videos, and it kind of comes down to how much is your time worth to you? Because you can watch, you know, I mean, you can sit back and spend years making mistakes and trying and, you know, throw a lot of time, a lot of money into it, or you can, like in this case, spend a little less than $40 and, you know, an hour and a couple of beers, you've pretty much got the ideas in your mind. You go for it.
There you go. There you go. Well, look, that's fantastic. Folks, we'll have a link to this video that you can purchase it, that you can go review it and purchase it if you're interested in it. We'll have that listed in the show information on the website. One thing to remember about all these is that, you know, check with your fellow modelers. You know, if you know, maybe a couple of you can go in and buy one together, or each of you buy a separate one and pass them around between each other and do it that way. But you can learn a lot of information off these DVDs. It's, you know, the whole Dave Platt DVD thing is just you're just scraping the surface. There's many of these things out there.
And the thing about these videos is, like, you get one day class, you buy one that has a subject matter of, say, building and finishing. Well, there is so many other things. When you're watching these guys, it's just like being in a shop with them. I mean, you watch them do it. You see so many other things, like, wow, that's cool.
For sure.
Why didn't I think of that? Things like that.
Well, super. Well, Ron, thanks for coming on and telling us about that DVD, and I hope maybe you'll have another one for us next week.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you having me on. It's really kind of interesting to go back and look through there and see what I've gotten to watch them again. And people that have these videos, they watch them pretty regular, and I know there's times that I'll pull them out just to kind of refresh myself on something. So
do we need to say hello to your girlfriend while we're on there?
Yes, we need to tell Pam that everything that Mike and Matt says is BS. You know, if you want the true story, come talk to me.
Oh, her name's Pam, is that right?
Yeah,
Pam. Oh, okay. Well, I'll say hello to mine, too. Hello, Talia. But
mine's prettier than yours.
Well, I don't know about that, but well, look, I'm gonna let you go. We got Mitch Baker waiting to give us a report on the 1/8 scale fly-in, and but I appreciate you joining us, Ron.
All right, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
You take care, pal.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, folks, that was Ron Berg giving us a little DVD review, and you want more information about this, be sure and check with us on the post on the website for this show, for this episode, and we'll have links to everything we talk about. Looks like we got Mitch Baker join us. Mitch, are you there?
Oh, I'm here, Mike. How you doing?
Well, better now. Sounded like you were using the shop vac there before you started talking. That was kind of odd.
Yeah, I heard feedback in my ear, too.
Yeah. Well, so you just got back from the 1/8 scale Air Force spring fly-in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, Mike, it was a blast. There were so many aircraft there and so much great weather. You know, right around 80 degrees, no wind on Saturday, beautiful flying. The site we were at was the Superstition Air Park there in Mesa, Arizona. We had Saturday 88 registered pilots and over 125 aircraft on the flight line, ranging from huge turbines down to small-scale racers. It was just a great time.
Wow. That's incredible. So I take it the weather was good.
Saturday, the weather was Sunday morning. It was a little slow start. We had like a 15-mile-an-hour, almost cross-runway wind going for about till about 10:30, 11. So it was a little slow starting there. And Curtis Kieringham decided to go ahead and, you know, he's a daredevil pilot that'll put anything up at any time. So he went ahead and put up his Taylor craft, and all it took is, you know, one guy starting to fly, and then flying resumed, and everybody had a great time on Sunday as well. If nobody's been to one of the 1/8 Air Force fly-ins out there in Phoenix, they hold two a year. They are great events. The fields in Phoenix that they hold them at are spectacular flying fields. All of them have paved runways, great spectator areas. We had several vendors out there. Pilot giveaways. I don't think a pilot goes away from that event without having something from the event. There was RAM donated a bunch of stuff for lights. The list is too long for me to name. You don't have enough time, Mike, for this show to name all the vendors, but Ontario Mata Products, Chris donated some glue and covering adhesive to the event. The pilot raffle itself, we had Chad Vetichik had donated a short kit of his Hellcat. And we had a Hangar 9 P-47 and an Airtronics radio for the pilot's raffle. So it's an event that if you're in the area, you know, anywhere within driving distance, that you need to go to. And it's not a contest. It's just a fun fly for scale, any type of scale, and everybody has a great time.
Huh. That sounds great, man. I wish I could have been there with you this weekend. That would have been nice. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad everything went well. And do you guys have some pictures up from the event?
Yes, I took close to 1,000 pictures over the weekend. Yeah, I know it's a little low for what I normally do with picture taking, but I was also running the online website. But yes, at the 1/8 Air Force website, which just spell out 1/8airforce.org, you can get to it and click the media button, and you'll see all the pictures that I took. And also, there's a set that some people put up on RC Universe as well. And I have a link on RC Scale Builder to the site as well. So in the upcoming events, I kept the link going for people to get to the site and see what was going on. The next event they'll be holding will be the fall event. As soon as I have dates for that, I will let everybody know, and we'll start posting and getting everything going for that one.
Well, super. Well, super. So you'll be back next week with our regular subject seeking column, right?
Yes, I will. I'll be back next week with subject seeking.
I had a couple of people ask me if you'd stop doing that. I told them you were a week away from being fired, but you know. Nah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You know.
Yeah, I know. I know about how that. Yeah, firing somebody out here in this business, huh?
I tell you, too many things to do and not enough time to do it. Right.
Oh yeah, I'm still tired from flying back. We left at four. You know, left the hotel at 4 a.m. and we pulled into the driveway at 9 o'clock last night. So.
Wow. Well, look, thanks for coming on and give us an update on that, and we'll for sure see you back next week with your regular column on the show. And
that was Bat Channel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was Mitch Baker, folks, giving us an update on the 1/8 Air Force spring scale fly-in that occurred this last weekend. We got a trivia question tonight for you guys, okay? And I got a bunch of folks whining about how hard the question was last week. Well, you know what? If we made it easy, then, you know, what fun is that? So go ahead and get your pull Google up on your computer and get ready to search for this, because we're going to have a winner tonight, okay? We're going to be giving away our usual prize, which is a Bossa USA Gold CA glue set, and that includes 1 1-ounce bottle of thick and 1 1-ounce bottle of thin. And all you got to do is phone in, email in, or Skype in with the correct answer. Okay. So if you don't know the phone number is 478-787-4768. Or if you're on Skype, you can Skype us at Warbird Radio. Or you can send your email to live@rcscalebuilder.com. But I'm telling you, you need to call in, because that's the fastest way in. Okay, so here we go. Here's this week's trivia question. Now, this is a little misleading, so don't jump to the conclusion and, you know, go with your first instinct on it. Listen to the question carefully. Whose brainchild was the Hughes HK1 Spruce Goose? Once again, whose brainchild was the Hughes HK1 Spruce Goose? Who originally thought up the Hughes HK1 Spruce Goose? If you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768, or Skype us, or email us, any of those ways. It's not really that hard of a question, but it's a little misleading. It's not the obvious answer that you think. So one more time, here's the question. Whose brainchild was the Hughes HK1 Spruce Goose? Just call us or email us or Skype in.
Mike, it's Matt. You have a caller on the line here.
Well, there we go. Hello, caller. Do you think you know the answer to our question?
Oh, I know the answer. This is Ron from Houston. This is easy. Henry J. Kaiser.
Man. You're getting pretty good with that.
Last
Google,
week you had me guessing, but this was easy.
That's absolutely correct, Henry J. Kaiser. But unfortunately, Ron, since you've already won once, you cannot win again.
Well, we lost Ron there, Mike. But let's see. We do have no. Ron is there. Ron is there.
Are you still there, Ron?
Yeah, give the glue, since I've won once, give it to Dave Howell, because he can't make it.
And you guys
call Dave, really, give him the answer, let him call in.
Okay, well, I think he's actually working tonight, probably, but
we do have Dan Gellner calling in as well, Mike, and he's with us as well.
Dan, are you there?
Yeah, I don't know who the brainchild was, but I know why he did it.
Okay, well, since we've already got the answer, why don't you tell us why?
The reason he made came up with the concept for the Spruce Goose, every chick wants to ride in the Spruce Goose.
I don't think that's the correct reason why, but... that's certainly a colorful answer, I will say that. Okay. Thanks for your call, Dan. I appreciate it. Okay, folks. Well, we had someone call in with an answer who had already won, and I'm sorry about that. I realized that he had won after I let him answer it. So we'll try again next week. But be sure and tune in. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what. First person who calls me who has not won a prize will win this glue. So call us at 478-787-4768, and we'll send it right out to you. It's that simple. Any calls, Matt?
Yeah, Mitch is calling.
Mitch doesn't count. Okay. Mitch doesn't count. Mitch
right.
is part
well,
of the show.
We'll keep the lines open then. All the guys are swamping the phones here. Hey, listen, Mike, you did have a couple of questions on RCU tonight that came over, mm-hmm. and I wanted to refer those here to you. A couple of the guys that wrote in there, they said that they really enjoyed having Daryl on. I wish he could have been on longer, though, but the good news is you're going to have him back. Well, this is one of the other guys, Bill, writes in and says, did he say that the gear would ship on Friday? question mark. So some excited folks out there, hopefully. Folks well, excited good. About getting their landing gear tonight. So
well, that's good. Yeah, it's some good stuff for sure. Well, I guess nobody wants the glue, so I'm going to continue on. If somebody calls in, Matt, just
I'll let you know. The lines are open, guys. 478-787-4768.
Amazing. We can't even give a prize away.
Well, you've got a lot of folks listening right now, so all they have to do is call in.
That's right.
First person to call wins the glue. That's too easy.
You know, I mean, golly, how hard is that?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Couple quick things. Also, folks, if you're on Facebook, just go to the search box and type in RC Scale Builder, and you'll find the RC Scale Builder fan page. Be sure and join up. And you'll get the latest news on all the shows and what's going on the site and what's going on in RC Scale. So be sure and check that out.
And, Mike, it looks like you have a caller here.
Well, super. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, Mike?
This is David Mahaffey.
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing? Guess what, David? You just won a bottle of thick and a bottle of thin CA.
Wait, you mean I can win too? I mean,
sure you can. Sure you can. Absolutely. Absolutely. So now.
Well, I'll take it. Heck yeah.
Well, why don't you do me a favor and shoot me an email with your shipping address, and I'll get that ordered for you. And you should have it hopefully soon. Boss USA's been a little slow on their shipping the last couple of ones, but they're getting them out.
You know, I heard chicks dig guys with glue.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that may be true. I tell you, you guys are on a roll tonight. That's all I can say. All right, Dave. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
All right. I tell you, I have so many flying buddies who are part-time comedians. It's scary, but they're a bunch of good guys, that's for sure. Upcoming events, real quick, let's cover that since we're kind of running out of time here. We got Warbirds Over the Panhandle this weekend down in Marianna, Florida, and if you can make it to that, that'll be a fantastic event. Those guys always put on a good show. Just load your giant scale warbird up and head on down there if you're in the area. And of course, April 9th through 11th, we've got the Weak Signals Toledo RC Expo coming up, in Toledo, Ohio. And, yours truly will be there along with a lot of the other guys from RC Scale Builder. And we'll be having our annual RCSB dinner at Spaghetti Warehouse Friday night. So if you'd like to join us, just go on to RC Scale Builder under upcoming scale events, and you'll see a post there about the RC Scale Builder dinner in Toledo, and just give Dave Mahaffey your name, and he'll sign you up. And, of course, April 28th through May 2nd, Top Gun 2010 in Lakeland, Florida. Of course, Uncle Frank puts on the best show there is, so if you're going to be in that area, be sure and check it out. You'll see some of the best builders and flyers in the world there, so that's definitely one to attend. Well, I guess that's it, folks. I wanted to take a minute and thank everybody who listens to the show, and if you're first time listening tonight, be sure and join us each week at the same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, here on Warbird Radio. Also, I'd like to hear your suggestions and comments. If you'd like to have someone special on the show, or if you have any ideas, I'd like to hear those. You can email me at live@rcscalebuilder.com. And for sure, we'll have Mr. Daryl Tinney back another time and to answer more of your questions. And I want to thank everyone for who came on the show tonight and called in, and we'll be back next week at the same time. That's going to do it for tonight, and hope you all have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the same time on your only station for 24/7 Warbird programming, Warbird Radio. Good night.